Hello and welcome to Koinonia. I am Presley Reeder and thrilled to be sitting in today for Tom Brown. It's quite an honor to be back. I had the opportunity to host the show just a few short weeks ago, and Tom invited me back, so I'm going to take that as an indication that we did okay last time. I had a great time being here, and am excited to be back again. And today on Koinonia, have the opportunity to have two gentlemen with me here in the studio who I could honestly just sit under and soak up wisdom from for not only the time we have together today, but for hours and weeks and months. These two gentlemen have lived incredible lives of leadership and service in ministry, and I am so excited for what they're going to share with you today. I'm personally just excited to be with them on the show, and of course, excited, as I said, to be guest hosting for Tom. For those of you who don't know, I also host a show called Aging in Arizona. That's on 960, The Patriot. That's Sunday afternoons at 4, so if you want to tune in for that, that's great. It's a weekly show. We talk about issues related to getting older here in our great state of Arizona, so lots of great content there. But today, we're talking with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt. Scott is the president and Dwight is the vice president at Disciple Nations Alliance. And very excited. I have a history myself with Disciple Nations Alliance. We're going to refer to it as DNA as we're talking. And then we're going to be talking about their Monday church course and initiative that they have. But as I said, I just have so much respect for you both and the ministry you've done over the years, your families that I have the privilege of knowing, the work that you do, of course, both as professionals, as ministers, and as parents. So really neat to be here with you and have this conversation today. Let's start with just get an overview from you, Scott, again, president of Disciple Nations Alliance. Tell us what Disciple Nations does, what you're about. We have a short segment here. We'll get into that, and then we'll come back and start talking about Monday Church.
Well, thanks, Presley. It's great to be here. It's a real honor, and thanks for the invitation for Dwight and I to just be with you today. Disciple Nations Alliance, it's a ministry that began 20 years ago. In short, it's a equipping ministry for the church. It's a discipleship ministry that's really aimed at churches, particularly in the developing world, and equipping them with a biblical worldview in order to overcome poverty. And let me just unpack that a little bit. When we think about poverty and community development, kind of most people immediately think of projects and money and the United Nations and drilling wells, and these are all good things. But what doesn't get talked about very much is the thing that actually really makes a positive impact in the lives of people in any community, and particularly poor communities, and that's what people believe. What do you believe about ultimate reality? What do you believe about the nature of human life, about creativity, about the dignity of life, the way women are to be treated? All of these deeply held beliefs that people have are really what determine whether they will thrive and flourish or not. And the Bible, or the biblical worldview, contains the most powerful transforming truths that there are. And so we are just all about trying to equip people to understand what these truths are, to live them out, to practice them outside their churches, and to make that kind of positive difference in their communities. So that's what the DNA does.
Yeah, that's a powerful message. That's a mouthful. What people believe informs their daily life. It seems basic, but it's pretty complex, and there's a lot of confusion about those ideas out there. I know DNA is doing a lot of work to clear up that confusion from a biblical perspective, and doing a lot of work to help people understand their role as it when it comes to their workplace overseas or here in the U.S. We're going to talk more about that and Monday Church when we come back. You're listening to Koinonia, and we're talking with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt from Disciple Nations Alliance. We will be right back. Welcome back to Koinonia. I am your guest host, Presley Reeder, filling in for Tom Brown, and it is my privilege and honor to be doing so. I am Also privileged and honored to be here today with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt from Disciple Nations Alliance. Scott is the president, Dwight is the vice president, and I want to encourage you to go to their website, disciplenations.org. That's D-I-S-C-I-P-L-E, nations.org, and you can find out more about this wonderful ministry and what they do around the world, ministering to folks and talking about the importance of what we believe. And that sounds broad and big. What do we believe? But Scott was explaining it in our first segment. Dwight, you have anything to add there?
Oh, I was just listening to you, Scott, and thinking of a real life situation in Uganda. You know, here in the United States, we sometimes can't connect beliefs to poverty, and because we really are seeped in what we would call a biblical worldview. The founders of this nation put in things like love of country and respect for one another and the dignity of man and the dignity of women and the ethic of hard work, all these things we just take for granted. And yet they're not built into the mindset and the beliefs of some people in some countries. And they're locked in fatalism. They're locked in dependency. They're locked in a state of victimization. And sometimes just to help them see in the Bible what God's intentions are for them, it really does unleash them at their souls and in their imaginations and in their creativity. And then you see things start to unfold, and it's fairly miraculous, but it does work. And that's kind of why you mentioned the Monday Church, and that's what led us to do the Monday Church course. So
yeah, it's fantastic. Before we get to Monday Church, could you elaborate just on that a little bit more by giving an example? Do either of you have an illustration there? You mentioned Uganda. Put you on the spot
We did have a situation a couple of years ago where we spent we were working with a partner organization, and they spent an entire year and a half just working with about 8 different communities through the church. The training was done in the church, and they bring different denominations together on a Saturday, and they talk about what does the Bible have to say about, you know, our lives, work, resources, tribalism, love of neighbor, giving, and just all these issues. And that's all they trained them in. And yet I came back a year and a half to do an evaluation of what had transpired in their communities. Not what had they learned, but what had transpired. And there were credit programs that had been started. Women were feeding their children better. There was more water, closer access. They'd put in water wells and tanks. And I said, why didn't you do this 10 years ago? The same resources were available. And they said, we didn't have the mindset. And so we didn't have to invest in anything. The change.
The power of it, Presley, is that these are, once the people understand these biblical truths and begin to apply them, they come up with their own ideas for developing their communities. These aren't ideas that we brought in as Westerners from the outside. We didn't come in with the idea that they needed a well or a church and fund it. We just trained them in these basic truths. They came up with their own solutions. They're very creative. They came up with the resources, and they went about doing it. And for us in community development, when you see that, that's thrilling, you know, so that's what you want to see.
Mm. So this is the overarching message of DNA, Disciple right. Nations right. Alliance, is to change mindsets, to really help people understand from a biblical perspective what beliefs they have or what beliefs they should have that come from Scripture, and then how to apply those beliefs
And to do that through the local church and let it seep into the community through that local church. And it's happening that way.
Yeah, and it's been happening for 20 years. Again, the website disciplenations.org for more information on that. And I want to use that as a jumping off point for then talking about, and we're going to talk about how this applies here in our own culture. And we're going to talk about in the context of what you have termed Monday Church, which is an initiative through Disciple Nations Alliance to help people understand the biblical prerogative, the biblical direction to apply your faith and apply those beliefs to your work day. And now both of you work in the ministry full time. And I think what your message is has to do with people who are out there being butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, right? Folks that are out doing things on a daily basis, radio talk show hosts, for example. So your trying to send them a message and help them with their mindset, whether that's in Argentina or whether that's here in America. Scott, talk a little bit about Monday Church.
Yeah, one of the biggest barriers with churches really all over the world in terms of their really making a positive impact on the flourishing of their communities is this belief that's very prevalent in evangelical churches all over the world. We call it the sacred secular dichotomy, that the things that really matter are spiritual things. It's the work that the pastors do in the church. And so if you're not a pastor, if you're not a disciple maker of some sort involved in some kind of ministry, you're really a second-class citizen. It doesn't matter so much what you do. The truth is just the opposite, that God created this amazing world. He loves it. He wants to bless it. He wants to see it flourish and thrive. And he's got his church, which isn't just pastors and deacons and elders. It's every single person. And he wants to use them where they're at in all of these different places in society, in education, government, business. Oz Guinness once said, and I thought it was very powerful. He's great kind of Christian theologian. He says, God's got his people where they're at in every aspect of our culture and society. The problem is they're not being his people where they are. In other words, they've kind of thought, my work doesn't matter. So they're not thinking theologically. They're not thinking, how do I reflect biblical truth through the work that I do? And if they did, then we're going to see some change in our communities and our cultures. So the Monday Church course was really our attempt to really provide some training for Christians to say, essentially the Great Commission doesn't just apply to overseas missionaries. It applies to every single Christian. And you've got to equip yourself as a Christian in radio, in business, in all these areas of society to be Christ's ambassador in that place, to disciple that place. So I think that's a really important misconception that's prevalent in the church, and we really felt like if the church is going to have an impact in its culture, that's got to be really, we've got to hit that hard. So,
and there's a course out there that you can actually go through online. We're going to talk about that and what are some of the elements of that course. I want to get to that. But Dwight, let's talk a little bit more about the foundation of this. This has not always been the case that people separated their faith from their work in such a dramatic way as we tend to do now. And when I say we, am I correct in saying we as Americans, we as humanity now? Because I know you have a very global perspective with this. Can you talk about the history of it?
I mean, Scott, I think Scott's the expert. He actually wrote a book on this, so I'm going to pass the mic right to Scott on this. But it's recent.
Well, it's interesting when, this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Martin Luther. And one of his big messages was that, the Catholic Church at the time had this same sacred-secular dichotomy. And so if you were a priest or a monk, then your work was more important than if you were a butcher or a baker or a candlestick maker. And he wrote a little tract called The Babylonian Captivity of the Church that really hammered that. And he said in God's kingdom, there isn't such a divide. If you're doing your work unto the Lord for his glory, that work is consecrated. It's sacred work. It's important work for God's kingdom. So he hit that hard. And that's been a key message of the Protestant Reformation, really, ever since then. But we kind of lost it about 100 years ago. It's a long story, but in short, as culture became more secular, the church kind of noticing that, particularly politics and science, became kind of dominated or led by people that weren't Christians, the reaction wasn't really a good reaction. The reaction was, let's just kind of abandon that area, that space, and we'll just focus on spiritual things. So the church set up Bible colleges. Earlier, they had set up things like universities, like Harvard and Yale, that studied all subjects from a biblical worldview, but they pulled out of that space. Nature abhors a vacuum, and it was filled by non-Christians. So that's where we find ourselves today, where the Christians have kind of retreated, pulled back. But I think, excitingly, right now, there's an awareness of this, and there's kind of a pushing back now. And this isn't just something we're talking about. Many people are saying, this is part of our heritage. We've got to reclaim it. God is... Abraham Kuyper, again, famous Dutch theologian, he said, there's not a single square inch over... all of creation over which Jesus, who is Lord, doesn't say, this is mine, this belongs to me. And so we're kind of reclaiming that idea. There, you know, there is no sacred, secular divide. Whatever we're doing, if we do it to God's glory, if we demonstrate biblical truths in that, that's mission. We're being missionaries. You know, that's calling. So, yeah.
What kind of response are you getting out there, Dwight? I mean, when you talk to people about this, again, whether it's Central America, Asia, Europe, here in the U.S., what kind of response do people usually have?
I think the first response is a little bit of a surprise, especially outside the U.S. The U.S. has a faith and work movement that's been growing pretty rapidly in the last 10, 15 years. But when you get to Bolivia or Colombia, I mean, they're still heavily influenced by missionaries of the 40s and 50s. And they're like, work? Faith? And it's a little confusing.
That's what you do to earn money. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do to earn money so that you can give to the church and support missions. So it's an eye opener for them, and it's sort of a tell me more type response. Tell me more.
Yeah, excitement out there that you hear.
I want to put Dwight on the spot because I know Dwight's been thinking about this quite a bit. I think part of the reason that we don't think quite rightly about this is we have a very anemic, I guess, theology of creation and the goodness of creation, what God wants for us in creation. We sometimes refer to Genesis 3 Christians versus Genesis 1 Christians. And, you know, a lot of Christians are kind of Genesis 3 Christians. They begin with the fall. So what's important is getting people saved. That's true. But Dwight, he's done a good job of pushing people back to Genesis 1. So
yeah, I've...
Well, we're going to have Dwight push us back to Genesis 1 after we come back from the break. But I like putting him on the spot there. Start with Genesis 1. When we come back, we're talking with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt from Disciple Nations Alliance. We're talking about the importance of what you believe, how that applies to your everyday work. So some really important stuff, and you're going to get some great content from them when we return. You're listening to Koinonia on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. Don't go away. We'll return shortly. Welcome back to Koinonia. Great to have you with us today. I am Presley Reeder, and I am sitting in for Mr. Tom Brown, the estimable Tom Brown, who is not able to be here today, but will be back and has asked me to guest host, which is a real honor to do every time Tom asks me to. And it is as much of an honor or more to be here with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt from Disciple Nations Alliance, a ministry that I have a lot of background with and experience with. It's doing incredible work equipping other ministries and individuals around the world to understand their beliefs from a biblical worldview and a biblical perspective, and then apply those beliefs in their daily lives, whether they are out in the workplace or they're behaving as family members in whatever capacity. Really taking their faith and putting it into action is what DNA is all about. And we're talking about this misunderstanding that many Christians have developed, and Scott shared last time that historically this has been in the past 100 years or so, a real divide between what you term the sacred and the secular, where people go to church on Sunday, and then when they go to work on Monday, they say, well, church was Sunday, work is about making money, providing, maybe giving to the church financially, but it's not really a place where I act out my faith. Well, that, even as I say it out loud, implies a lot, and there are a lot of ramifications from that. And it starts from a real core misunderstanding of Genesis and creation. And so, Dwight, we wanted to have you elaborate on what that misunderstanding is.
Oh, thanks. I'll say a
big
few thoughts.
Call. Yeah, it's a big task.
Well, you just said, you know, how do we live out our faith? And I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, living out your faith, does that mean you pray in the marketplace? Do you pass out tracts? Do you say Jesus loves me all the time? We talk about, you know, whatever you do, glorify God and you know, do your work to the glory of God. Well, What does that mean? Well, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal. But I think Genesis gives us a much bigger picture, which I believe it does. And I hadn't seen it for most of my life until I spent some time working with Scott and Darrow and others. But just this idea of the dominion mandate or the creation mandate, it's when God said, let us make man in his image and let him rule over the earth, the fish of the sea and all that is the earth. And unpacking that, that becomes our first commandment. In fact, that becomes the mandate for all human beings. And I really like that because it's not a mandate for Christians. It's a mandate for the poor. It's a mandate for the rich. It's a mandate for Muslims, Buddhists, wherever you go. I like the way Darrell Miller says it. He says, you know, God made the world perfect in creation, but he didn't make it complete. He left it to us to make this world flourish and to bring flourishing to it. And he made us in his image, and that's a lot of facets of God that we reflect, but probably one of the most important is that we're creators. We're sub-creators. We don't create from nothing, but God gave us the mandate to rule and to create. And, you know, that just means, I boil it down to, that means to make life better, to make things that are good, that are beautiful, that reflect the truth. And that's all of our work. And I just love what we call the creation mandate, sometimes called the cultural commission, to tie it to the Great Commission. But it's the idea that we do things to make this world a better place. Now, the challenge is the fall. And where Adam and Eve were just trying to, yeah, I often say, you know, I love creating things in my backyard, but I don't always like maintenance. And the fall says now we're in the maintenance mode as much as we are in the creation mode. We have to fix things. We have to restore things. We have to heal things. We have to, you know, my wife's a counselor. That's all she does is to restore broken lives. And so that's part of our mandate. And it's a big challenge. And that's what we're about. Mm. And that's what, when you think about glorifying God, well, that's how we glorify him. And that's what we do in our work.
Well said, bringing flourishing. Scott?
Yeah, no, I appreciate what Dwight said. I think that, again, for me too, I've grown in my own understanding of this significantly, even over the last 5 years, that God really did create a magnificent world, and that's really clear in Genesis 1. He called it very good, but as Dwight said, not complete. So he created things like flowers, but he didn't create all the variety of roses that we see today. He kind of left that up to us.
Or economic systems.
Or you know,
iPads,
great symphony orchestras or museums or any, you know, that was all God's intention. And when you realize that, you know, it gives such meaning to the work that we do, we somehow go, okay, that's not outside of God's intention. What I'm doing is part of his very job description for me. And I think a lot of Christians don't realize that. They think that, again, they have this kind of weak understanding of their work, and does it really matter? Does God really care? It's this idea that I put food on the table, that's good. I can tie the church, but there's really not much more value to it than that. And I just think that's a very weak theology, you know. In fact, if you ask most Christians, they could tell you a little bit about the Great Commission, right? Go into all nations and make disciples. But if you ask them about the cultural commission, which is the very first job description before the fall, most Christians don't know. They wouldn't know how to answer, you know, what that is. Well, God's never rescinded that. That's our job description. And I think that when you understand the Great Commission in light of the cultural commission, it's like God had a job description. The fall disrupted that. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross so that we could be kind of restored to our original human dignity to carry out that mission in the first place.
And, well, and the essence of the Great Commission is to make disciples, teaching them to obey and do all things that I've commanded to you. Well, what is the first commandment he ever gave us? It's to do good in this earth. It's to create good. It's to create beauty. And it's to share truth.
Mm. Well, I hope you're encouraged out there today. You are out there doing good. You're working, and there are some ways to apply these core principles that you're both talking about that I want to get into. And you're taking these beliefs and you're turning them into courses to train folks on these very principles and then send them out into their work really with a stronger theology. Yes. Of both the Cultural Commission and the Great Commission so that they can apply it. So let's talk about what this course then does for people. You've put it together. You go to corumdeo.com. That's C-O-R-M-D-E-O amdeo.com, and you can find this course there, and there are 10 lessons in it, I believe, and you're going to talk a little bit about that now, but really easy to access, great information here. Scott, how did that come about? What do you see the course doing for folks?
Yeah, and also free of charge. So it's a course that's online. It's a video-based course. You can take it individually or in the context of small groups. And we put a lot of creativity and thought into it. I think it's well done. And so I hope people will check it out, use it for their small groups at church, or just if you're an individual that says, yeah, I'd like to grow in my understanding of this. A great way to do that. So, yeah.
There's actually two courses there.
Right, there's two courses. That, yeah, there's one that's, we call it the Basics course, which is our basic core teaching on biblical worldview and community development. And then this second course that we're talking about right now, we put up last year, and it's Monday Church. Again, the simple idea is that the church doesn't stop being the church on Monday morning, but it carries out God's mission Monday through Friday, you know, and then we regroup on Sunday and get equipped to go back out and keep going. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, and the basics course really is that broader overview that touches a lot of different topics. That would be the sort of thing we would share, like with that community in Uganda that I mentioned. The Monday Church is more focused on vocation, work, workplace.
Okay.
Chris, you were talking about how do we apply this, and I think if you ask most Christians, what does your faith mean to your work? The first things that people will come up with is, as Dwight said, I need to be, there's a level of kind of Christian virtue. I need to be honest, can't steal, treat my coworkers, you know, with respect. That's true, and that's all good. Or maybe they'll go beyond and say, I need to be a witness. I need to share Jesus in the workplace. Also very good. But it kind of ends with that. And what we're pushing people to in this course is to go further and say, no, our faith provides a whole context, a worldview. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be made in God's image, to be creative? That alone will shape everything you do about education, let's say, if you're a teacher. You will come up with a completely different way of doing education if you take the Darwinian view, which is we're just, evolved, materialistic beings or machines, or the biblical view, which is, we're kind of these amazing creatures of God made in his image with creativity and the ability to create beauty. And you'll come up with entirely different ways of teaching people depending on how you view that. And that's just one thing. Mm-hmm. Or you'll come up with entirely different ways of doing business. Now, we can talk a little bit about that.
Well, and even the reason for education. I remember sitting with a group of guys and we were talking about sending our kids to college, and it was, well, so they can get a good job and they can get the position they need and the status, and they can, which are all good things too. But I'm thinking, no, they need to develop the talents and the gifts that God gave them and then express those into the world for his goodness. And nobody was thinking about, well, that's, so we go to school to develop who we are, to steward our lives. Because that's the greatest resource God has given us, our lives. And so when we think about how do we use our lives to bring glory to God, we first have to steward them. We have to develop ourselves. So anyway, that didn't come up in the conversation, and I wasn't thinking at the time, and I didn't bring it up myself. But
Well, and it wasn't part of the conversation for me. And before we have to go to another break, I'll just say how powerful this concept is for a young person. Because I can remember when I was at that point where I was going to college, I was going to get my master's, none of these thoughts, even though I was a Christian at the time, none of these thoughts were in my head, in my heart, were being taught to me about my vocation of choice, about my need to pursue the talents and gifts that God had given me and then apply those in the workplace down the road. That just wasn't, and I was at a secular school, so I wouldn't have expected it, but even in the church, I wasn't being taught. And I'll tell you, early years in my career, I was in Washington, D.C., I was doing things that were exciting from the world's perspective, but there was a groping in the dark for me as a young person trying to understand how my faith actually applied to any of the work that I was doing, whether it was in government or business or otherwise. So this really brought light into that darkness for me as a concept. So I appreciate it very much. We're going to talk more about the light that Disciple Nations is bringing and their course, Monday Church. You can find that again at CoramDeo.com. But we've got a couple more segments with Scott Allen and Dwight Voigt when we come back. You're listening to Koinonia on 1360 Faith Talk. Welcome back to Koinonia. I am guest host Presley Reeder and thrilled to be here sitting in for Tom Brown. It's always an honor to do that, and I'm glad you've joined us. I hope you've been listening as we've been talking with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt from Disciple Nations Alliance and Monday Church, the course that they've developed to help you integrate your faith with your day-to-day work, something that is surprisingly not understood by a lot of Christians. And Scott and Dwight have been explaining to us the biblical perspective on work and what you can, should, desire to do when you show up on Monday morning to as a believer, and you're out there using your talents and your gifts to bring glory to God and impact the kingdom. And really an exciting message today, something that, as I said at the last in the last segment, has impacted me dramatically. And as a young person, when I was kind of just looking around trying to understand how did this work that I was doing apply to my faith and vice versa, how did I work that out? And it was, I didn't know where to turn. And I think that's the case with a lot of people. And Scott, I want to start with you by asking you, what's going on? We're not talking a lot to unbelievers here. We're talking to folks who may very well have grown up in the church. They've got a general understanding, right? They're Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of the foundations of the faith, but yet they're missing this piece. And what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Presley. I think that, well, first of all, as I said, we're about 100 years away from really having this kind of comprehensive understanding of our faith that applies to every area of life. And we tend to kind of divide things up into this sacred, secular way so that if you're in the workplace, you know, very often the feeling that people have is I'm not doing something as significant as a pastor or missionary. And that sometimes gets reinforced, unfortunately, in the church that, you know, the real work of ministry is done by kind of full-time Christian workers, so to speak. So that's part of it. We've got to break that down. I think a reason that it doesn't get dealt with in churches, too, is pastors have an incredibly important vocation, and that's to equip the flock, right? And they're on Sunday mornings preparing sermons and unpacking God's word for people. Very important. But that word then needs to be applied in every area of life. And pastors, they're not out there in the business world, or they're not out there as auto mechanics, and they don't really know that world. You know, we can't blame them for that. So it's hard for them to really make those connections and say, how does a biblical worldview shape and form the way that I do business or that you ought to do education? They don't really know. Well, who needs to discover that? It's the people that are in those areas. I think this is where the church and pastors maybe could do a little bit better job, is to just give the vision that the Bible applies to what you're doing and try to encourage business people, for example, in the church to get together and develop, start thinking theologically about their business so that they can develop some of that for themselves. I don't think that gets encouraged enough. And then maybe one final word. I do think the way we think about missions is it does need to change. When people think of missions, they immediately think of cross-cultural missionaries that are bringing the gospel to other nations. That's all right and true. But the mission of God is actually much bigger than that. Seeing people saved or seeing churches planted is what I call phase one of God's big plan, right? Nothing can really change in this world until people come to faith. But that's not the end. I mean, God's got a plan to take these Christians and put them into every area of society to bless it and to heal it. That's the bigger goal. But we often lose sight of that. It's kind of like once we get to step one, we're done. And whatever happens after that doesn't matter so much. And I think that's where we've got to say, no, that's just step one. Now we've got to apply a biblical worldview in every area. So.
One of the things we actually, Presley, we tried to build into the course was some examples. And So we created some videos. Your wife was kind enough to be in a great video just talking about the role of a housewife and how she lives out her God's glory in that position and seeks it, and added these little stories to each of the lessons. So if you go to the end of the lesson, you'll find a little story section. And I think of one, I just loved it. This guy's a hotel developer. I mean, mega million motel developer, and he buys land or hotels and fixes them up, resells them. But he latched on to the idea of love your neighbor as yourself. and realized that was a core principle, which it is. I mean, the Great Commandment says, how do you love God? You love your neighbor. And so he was challenged to say, what would that look like in your business as a negotiator that's dealing with millions of dollars and people who are trying to get the best deal from you and you're trying to get the best deal from them? What does that look like? And he took it really seriously and said, okay, how does that apply to my business? He goes, that means I look at this guy I'm negotiating with. I look at the client I'm negotiating for. I look at everybody involved and I go, what is God's best for them in this situation, including me? And he talks about how he unpacked that. Well, now his lawyers that were writing contracts with him are going, no, you can't say that. You can't be that truthful. You know, and he goes, no, I want them to be blessed too, and I want to be blessed in this. Anyway, it's a fascinating story about how he just lived out the great commandment, love your neighbor, or the second commandment, love your neighbor, in that world.
And then you take that.
And he's done well.
He's still
rich.
Yeah, no big surprise. God blesses that. But then you take that and you just multiply that times thousands and thousands of other people that if Christians would get a vision for that and live in that same way, you can really see the impact that it would have. I mean, it would be transformational in our society and our culture.
I think also in terms of teaching that, our friend Jim Mullins at Redemption Church here in town, he talks about bringing businessmen, or not just business, tradespeople up and having them share from their experience, how did they apply God's word like this guy did in their workplace? And just gives them 3 minutes there to share with the church. Different. One week it's an educator, next week it's a plumber, next week it's an electrician, whatever. And then also sometimes they have dedication services for a particular sector of society. You know, we pray for missionaries when they go to Belize. We pray for people who are going to seminary. But let's bring all the plumbers up and let's say, God, let's pray a special blessing on the plumbers because we need them and they need to do good work, you know.
Yeah, there's so many examples that are so inspiring. You know, I think of the Hobby Lobby, what's the name of the family?
Green family.
Yeah, the Green family. And, you know, when I listen to them, they really have applied a biblical worldview at every level of how they run that company. And it's just had such a huge impact. And that's just one example. You know, sometimes, Presley, when I talk to people about this, when we're talking in this way, Christians, their response will be, they'll kind of go to the end times and they'll kind of talk, the word is eschatologically, right? And they'll say something like this, but see, yeah, what you're saying doesn't make sense to me, Scott, because it's all going to burn anyways, right? You know, it's kind of what we do with our hotels or whatever it is doesn't really matter because, you know, what's the point? Only souls are going to last forever, you know, souls and God's word. And I've been challenged on that in the last few years to think differently about if that's the case, then, you know, right, it really does kind of undercut this idea that the work that I do matters, right? There are theologians, I mean, really respected, N.T. Wright and others, that really challenge this. And they go to passages, for example, like in Isaiah, where it talks about the kings of the earth coming into the New Jerusalem bearing the cultural gifts, the gifts of the nations. In other words, the very best work that was done in that nation for God's glory as a gift to King Jesus on his throne in the new heaven and the new earth. And there's this kind of connection between the work that we're doing now culturally and the world to come. And that's, I mean, I know this is mysterious, this is end times, but I think it's important to think, you know, biblically about that, because if we don't, if we just have this idea that it doesn't matter, everything is going to burn and then we're going to be evacuated off to some spiritual place, well, that really undercuts, you know, this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's biblical. I've come to the conclusion that I don't know how it's going to look exactly, but the work that we do now matters. And it doesn't just matter on this side of eternity.
Well, and it's not just the good works we do in terms of helping the widow down the street or working with orphans. I mean, that's the essence of good religion. But it's the good work we do,
right?
Whatever qualifies as the good work we do.
And make sure we address that in the context of salvation, Scott, because I think part of what you're getting at here is that folks are going to push back and say, really what I need to be out there doing is sharing the saving faith of Jesus Christ and giving them a track and making sure they understand this is salvation. This is the salvation message. And so address that, because that's still at the very core of what you're talking about.
It really is.
It's a both and, not certainly not an either or.
No, people.
And no, it works related to salvation in any way, right?
Absolutely. People are lost apart from Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, one of the most important things, if not the most important thing that we need to be about as Christians is sharing the good news that salvation is available only through Jesus Christ, and that people need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that one day every knee is going to bow in heaven and earth before him, and it's better if you bow that knee now than later. We just have to kind of keep hold of that very important message. So our message is that while that's completely true, it doesn't end there, that we're saved, in other words, for a purpose. And that purpose isn't just to go to heaven when we die. That purpose is then to live out this kind of sanctified Christ-like life now in everything that we do. And that doesn't mean just spiritual ministry.
Yeah, I really think that's missed. You know, we're saved for a purpose. We're saved for a relationship. We're saved for heaven and eternal life. And we're saved for a purpose. And I think that purpose part gets lost. It's right. Like, well, I just do my best now. I just try to do my best and please God with what. No, you're saved for a purpose, and it goes back to Genesis 1. What is your calling as a vocational calling in life?
And you're saved to make the world a better place. Again, it's as simple as that.
The humanists say, "Well, we do that for our glory, and we do that for our gain, and we do that for our money." And the Christian says, "No, we do that for God's glory. We do that for God's gain because that's and we get great pleasure often out of doing that." Mm. Eric Liddell, running. He goes, "I feel God's pleasure when I run. He was created to run." I think that's not just one analogy that just touches one person.
Mm. So the reason why we're doing it is different, but we're both doing it.
And that comes from our salvation. I really believe that's the gift of God in our hearts. It says, I want to do this for the right reason.
And of course, he empowers us with the Holy Spirit to do that, right? So there's a lot that happens there, you know, and that's very important as well.
Yeah.
So.
You're saved for a purpose, folks, and a great message from Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt from Disciple Nations Alliance. We're going to be right back to wrap things up. You're listening to Koinonia. I'm guest host Presley Reeder sitting in for Tom Brown, and we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to 1360 KPXQ. Welcome back to Koinonia. I am Presley Reeder, sitting in for Tom Brown, and wrapping things up today. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking with Scott Allen and Dwight Vogt. Scott's the president of Disciple Nations Alliance. Dwight is the vice president. And we've been talking not only about what Disciple Nations does and the wonderful ministry that they have, the equipping and teaching that they do, but more specifically, their Monday Church Initiative, which helps folks understand what their faith can do or what role their faith can and should play in their day-to-day work. And so I wanted to have Scott just wrap up with a message to you out there who may be struggling with doing that, integrating your faith into your work. What would you say to that man or that woman out there, Scott, who's getting up each day and saying, "Boy, I would love to live out my faith, but I don't know how, or I don't know why I should"? What's your message for them?
Well, the word vocation, actually, it literally means calling, and I think we lose sight of that. And I want people to consider that what they're doing, maybe they just got into it because that's the way doors opened up or whatever it is, and maybe they've lost sight of its purpose or its meaning and they feel frustrated in what they're doing. But consider this, that maybe God has called you, that vocation is actually his calling to you to carry out his work in a way that no one else really can with what you're doing with the people that you're working with. You know, we get frustrated with the culture sometimes and we feel like things are going in a bad direction. But it changes when we catch a vision for doing something in our own little circles. And so be a part of that change right where you're at.
And I'd encourage you to check out the Monday Church. You can type in mondaychurch.org or anything. It'll get you to corumdeo.com. It's free. Sign up and jump in. Check out a lesson. Look at some of the stories. We've got a number of really good thought leaders that give excerpts and then talk for 20 minutes. Stone Street, Oz Guinness, Amy Sherman, Grudem, Wayne Grudem.
And some seminar. Great application tools that will help you to kind of reflect on your own work and say, how do I bring this down to what I'm doing? So some really practical tools as well.
Great tools, great teaching from Disciple Nations Alliance at CoramDeo.com. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today on Koinonia.
Thank you.